At 8 o'clock, after hours of trying, Colonel Musi's radio man finally got through to 6th Army headquarters. The news was felicitous. During the 3 days of the raid, the Americans had advanced more than 15 miles toward Cabanatuan, which meant the Life March had 15 fewer miles to go than Musi thought. They wouldn't have to go all the way to Gimba. The day before, the 6th Army had captured the town of Talavera, which was about 10 miles away from Musi's present position. The radio man told the colonel to head for Talavera. American forces would be waiting to intercept them there. The pace was as slow as ever, but nearly everyone who needed a ride could find one now, for the caravan had swelled to a magnificent 71 carts. The men in the carts kept their eyes fixed on the west for the first sign of American presence. Some of the men passed the time singing songs, Amazing Grace, Home on the Range. By 10 o'clock, the hot sun bit at the prisoners' bare backs and warmed the dirt beneath their bare feet. Suddenly the morning calm was punctured by the sound of planes in the distance. The rangers turned and saw four silver specks growing on the eastern horizon. They were fighter planes diving in low. The rangers became suspicious. The aircraft seemed to be perfectly aligned for a strafing attack, as though they would pass right over the full length of the column. "They're Japanese," one ranger yelled. "Take cover!" The prisoners jumped from their ox carts and sought protection in the surrounding rice paddies. "Oh, God, not now, not after all this," A.B. Abraham heard one POW lying next to him moan. Musi's men hoisted their rifles and set their sights on the incoming planes. The rangers were just about to shoot when the planes pulled out of their dives, revealing bright stars on the undersides of their wings. They were P-51 fighters, and they'd simply come to pay aerial tribute to the men of Bataan and Corregidor. They circled back and passed over the column again and again, waggling their wings in greeting. "They roared over us with ear-splitting screams from their powerful engines," recalled Abraham. "They were waving their wings as if to say, 'Welcome back.'" Finally, the fighters turned north and assumed a tight formation as they streaked away. It was a moving spectacle. Yet for some prisoners possessed of bitter memories, the air show was 3 years overdue. As Dr. Hibbs put it, hundreds of planes had arrived just like they promised in 1942. But oh my God, they were so late. Up ahead, the prisoners riding high in their carts could spot a flurry of activity in the distance. Soon ambulances and trucks began to appear on the road, then a Red Cross van. An American tank approached, swiveling its turret and bobbing its guns in salutation. The border had been an invisible one, but somehow they'd crossed it. They were now inside American lines. While everyone else cheered and screamed in exultation, Dr. Hibbs suddenly became preoccupied with one of his TB patients, a man named Johnson, who was in critical condition. Hibbs had spent much of the night tending to Johnson, but he was going down fast. The all-night ride had been too much for his frail constitution. "I hurried over to the straw-filled cart where Johnson was breathing his last," Hibbs later wrote. "I climbed in and cuddled his head on my lap. I could see medics running toward us with IVs, but it was too late. He was in the twilight of consciousness." Johnson died in his cart outside Talavera, only minutes after crossing out of Japanese-held territory. A convoy of large troop-carrying trucks motored down the road and halted alongside the column. The prisoners were told to vacate their ox carts and climb aboard. For the last 10 miles into Gimba, they stood up and clung to the sideboards. They rode as champions at the end of a long campaign, inspecting the new world from a high perch. The roads were lined with thousands of GIs who waved at them and threw candy and cigarettes. They were speeding to a place that had medicines and hot food, clean quarters with soft cots and cool fans and cold beer. They were 7,000 miles from home, but they'd passed again into America. Along the way, they saw an American flag set in the turret of a tank. It wasn't much of a flag, writhing in a weak breeze, but for the men of Cabanatuan, the sight was galvanizing. Ralph Hibbs said his heart stopped, for he realized that it was the first stars and stripes he'd seen since the surrender. All the men in all the trucks stood at attention and saluted. Then came the tears. "We wept openly," said Abraham, "and we wept without shame.